Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And it is May 14th. 14th, yeah. 14th, 2020. Another day in quarantine. Another episode. We got a guest, a special guest on this episode. Had a chance to catch up with Pani Kianzad. She is a UFC bantamweight division, former Tough alumni. Was supposed to fight Betch Kohea. That got scrapped because of obviously COVID, but she's hoping to get back on track soon. We caught up with her over in Sweden to see how things are going, and we'll get over to that interview shortly. But first, man, what's going on? How are you doing?
Nothing. It's good to be back, and it's good to have fights back in our lives. It's been a long time, and not only that, we got two fights.
Yeah, we just got done with the second event last night.
Yeah. And having fights on a Wednesday night was freaking
awesome. Was great. That was great. Yeah. I think the UFC should do that more often. Just a random Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean,
why not?
Fights that are not important as far as like bouts or rankings go.
Like fight nights?
Any
day of the week. Obviously it can be done. Like I know they like to do promotions and they like to do a lot of lead up to promotions. Usually they want to spend the week doing that.
But usually the events. For the last year or two, there hasn't been no promotion only for the big fights.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know why they can't just do Wednesday night fights.
I agree, especially for the smaller cards that they want to put on. I think a Wednesday night, Tuesday night fights.
I mean, talking about viewership, I think people will be seeing that shit all the time.
Yeah.
The ratings would go up.
People watch the ratings overall for these past two events have been great. I don't remember the numbers for this last night's event. But for Gaethje and Ferguson, prelims were of 1.6, 1.7 million for just the prelims.
People are craving live television, live sporting events.
I think overall, the pay-per-view numbers are estimated to come in around 700 for this Gaethje and Ferguson event, which is a good hunk of change for ESPN and UFC and Endeavor. They made a pretty good money in killing in this is COVID times and cashed in. Which we have two cards to get to, obviously. Gaethje and Ferguson took place last Saturday. This was May 9th.
It was supposed to be in San Jose.
It was supposed to be, supposed to be San Jose. We were supposed to be in Bellator San Jose card.
Yeah.
This weekend, but nope. That's right. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the whole time I was watching it.
Yeah, but this week's card is all in Jacksonville at the V-Star Veterans Memorial Arena. Gaethje defeats Tony Ferguson to become the interim lightweight champion, defeating him in the fifth round via doctor stoppage. Where do we begin? Your thoughts? This is talk about the fights. Your thoughts on the fight overall? Obviously, I think on the last episode we picked Gaethje to edge us out. What's your thoughts?
As far as my expectation how the fight will be, as far as the entertainment wise, I think it was just as what I expected.
Yeah,
you know, both guys came in swinging for fences. I think Tony Ferguson looked a little sluggish. He wasn't himself, obviously. I think he like we're talking off camera. Maybe it was the weight cut, but whatever it was, I think, or maybe it was just a bad matchup for him that night. Who knows? You know, sometimes fighters use the crowd to get pumped up.
Yeah.
There wasn't a crowd there. There could be, you know, many factors, but Ferguson didn't look like himself. But Justin is such a fan favorite. He's a maniac, man. Yeah. And I love how he doesn't just stand there and trade shots. I think he's more he's more like of an assassin,
a lot more calculated nowadays,
and he picks his shots very, very wise. Yeah. I feel bad for Ferguson because he didn't have to take this fight. He had every opportunity to say no.
Yeah, he could have waited
for that Khabib fight, which I don't think we're gonna see.
Not anymore. Not right away.
Yeah.
Ferguson's going to have to at least get one or two more before he gets a title shot.
Unless Khabib loses, then maybe they're going to match those two guys together.
Yeah.
But I feel bad. I mean, he had a 12-fight win streak. I think people were clamoring for him to fight for the title. I think he was deserving of that shot. And I mean, being Ferguson, he accepted this fight against Justin Gaethje, and he unfortunately lost.
Yeah. I think the fight played out kind of like what we both expected.
Yeah.
The wrestling to be negated in this fight. You have Gaethje. Obviously, it's going to be a stand-up war, and then Gaethje is his stand-up is great, and his punches are hard. So
he's like a drug.
And Ferguson likes to get hit, so it was going to be a case of disaster. And Ferguson, I think, did look sluggish. He did look kind of physically weak in terms of like the muscle,
like sucked up, didn't he?
Yeah, his muscle definition was not there as it had been in previous fights. Honestly, in my opinion, I feel like he still hasn't fully recovered from his injury. Like, he's had a couple of fights since, but to me, his first fight back after his injury, he looked physically worse than he did now, but he doesn't look much better. I still don't think he's fully recovered from that injury in his body, and he hasn't really slowed it down too much. Mm. Not that he can't perform, he can, but I still think he physically, that injury took a lot out of him. Second of all, he's older. Mm. You know, 12 fight win streak, 13 fight win streak, whatever it was. He's older now. Mm. He's 36, 37 years old. You know, Gaethje's a little bit younger of a guy. Not as much wear and tear in terms of fighting top competition, getting busted up, even though Gaethje likes to go at it. And I think it also was matching up. This was definitely going to be a tougher fight. A wrestler who likes to strike more instead of a wrestler who only uses his striking for the setups. And Khabib. Gaethje's a different kind of style, both wrestler, but a different style of guy, and a lot more punching power, and it showed. And I think I feel bad for Tony because he worked so hard to get there, but yes, he did take this fight when he didn't have to, but it was a bad matchup overall, and I would think too that the double weight cut to 155 in a month has to do something to you. It just has to. That's tough. That's a tough weight cut for a big guy like him, and we've seen him. We've had him on the show, you know?
Yeah.
So he's a big guy.
He's the only person, like, not the only person, but one of the only fighters that when he saw us again, he recognized us.
I
think that one time I was at the UFC, we're at the UFC. He came behind me, like, was massaging me.
Yeah.
And he said, "What's up, man?" I said, "Oh, it was crazy. I didn't think he would remember me, but." I feel bad for him, dude, because like he didn't deserve. I mean, I don't know. It's tough.
I think sometimes
I'm happy for Justin though.
I'm happy for Justin, and I think we both think that he's actually a good matchup for Khabib.
I think he's Khabib's kryptonite, but yeah. Who knows? Who knows though?
Who knows?
Khabib's a beast when it comes to grappling.
Yeah, and I don't care who it is. When he gets his hands on you, it's tough.
Oof,
that's gonna be a great matchup. Fight. They're looking at that fight in September. Thankfully, his father kind of seems to be on the track to recovery, but that would have probably held it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to take from this fight?
No, not really. I kind of saw it play out in my head the way it played out.
Yeah.
I think I just saw because I know how Tony fights, and I know he fights with his chin up.
Yeah.
He doesn't really block.
And keep his hands down.
He paid the price for that. And when you find someone like Justin Gaethje who hits hard and who's relentless.
Were you happy with the stoppage?
Yeah, I think he was getting punched way too many times. Yeah. He needed to be saved. I think he's too tough of a person to want to quit himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I was satisfied with it. I would have hoped a more defined win as far as the referee stepping in, but
yeah,
I was okay with it.
I would say so. And you know, I was sad for like Eddie Bravo and all them because I see him in the background all disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I know how much he's been Tony's his guy.
The previous fight, I was kind of pissed off for the stoppage, but
yeah. Yes. So we'll get right into it. To talk about stoppages, in the co-main event, Henry Cejudo defeats former bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz to defend his title, Henry Cejudo, by TKO in the second round. Delivers a knee after, was it a nut shot? It wasn't a nut shot, was it?
Yeah, a headbutt? No?
Headbutt. Yes, it was a headbutt and the cut check.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Dominic Cruz, the action resumes. Instantly, Henry Cejudo lands a knee as Dominic dips. And then Dominic obviously wobbled, falls back. Henry pounces on him. 11 unanswered shots, even though more than half probably didn't land flush. Mm. They did kind of graze him, and he wasn't defending.
Yeah.
Dominic had issues with the stoppage. What were your thoughts? Too soon?
I think you can go back and forth. I guess you can see it. I can see it both ways. But I saw, I don't know if you saw the same thing, but I saw Dominic Cruz attempt to try to get back up.
Yeah.
And in the process was getting punched in the head, obviously, because that's the risk you take when you're trying to get back up to your feet. You can get hit. I thought that he should have let it go just because it's a championship fight.
Yeah.
You should let the fighter, you know, kind of figure himself out or at least give him an opportunity to get himself out of danger. And I thought that was taken away from him.
Yeah.
I think the ref stepped in too early and who knows, maybe Dominic Cruz was hurt. But give a guy an opportunity to A, fight back and B, try to get himself out of danger. And I think that both those opportunities were not given to him. And when you see a long time former champion like Dominic Cruz come back after how many years, and almost he's in a championship fight, and he's trying to, you know, it's an important fight for not only Henry Cejudo, but for Dominic Cruz. And when you deny a fighter that, it sucks.
It sucks. Yeah. It wasn't the worst stoppage in the world because he did get rocked. And if you saw his face, he looked like he was.
That knee hurt him.
That knee hurt him bad. Yeah. And it was a flush, and a line of flush. And it was also Dominic's, you know, he put himself in that position to dip that low right into his knee.
Yeah. Because Dominic Cruz immediately started backing away.
Yeah. And if you saw his face, he was like it looked like he was like he had a stroke, you know? I felt like it could have went on longer. He ended up eventually getting knocked out or something like that? Yeah. He might have broken up free and action probably would have resumed and he would have been able to kind of finish the round. That could have happened too. I don't think it was a worse stoppage, but it is what it is. He got caught and it looked bad and he was, you know, it looked bad. So, I mean, that's what it was. Even though he was working to get back up, and I agree he was, it was taking a little bit too long, I guess, for the referee's liking. So,
yeah.
What do you think of Dominic Cruz's reaction afterwards? Because he didn't stop after the post-fight interview. He got on social media. He won Ariel Helwani's. He even went at the referee personally and shared like a story where they had to carry the referee back to his hotel room drunk.
Yeah, I think he said when the referee was backstage giving him instructions in the back, he could smell like
alcohol. He smelled like alcohol.
I think it doesn't look good for Dominic. I think it makes him look like a sore loser.
Yeah.
And I think before the fight, people already had a preconceived idea of how he is.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't know how to lose.
Very prideful guy. Super prideful. Yeah.
So it doesn't look good. It makes him look like a little whiny bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it's a good look for
him. It's not a good look. I mean, he should have just, like, kept his thoughts privately or within the circle.
Or
don't put it out there.
Or complain. It's on social media if you want, but to go at the guy personally and share, like, these drunk stories.
Yeah,
and
because, it's like, come on. when you attack someone like that, that's low. Someone's, like, job.
Yeah.
And if the commission looks into it, and that guy can probably possibly lose his license.
Yeah. He's going super low where he doesn't need to be.
I mean, I don't agree with that at all. I don't condone his actions, but I can see his frustration as far as the stuff being prematurely stopped, but as far as his antics afterwards, no. I think there's a time and place for that, and if he has those ideas, that don't make it public.
Yeah. What do you think of Henry Cejudo possibly retiring? Now that he's had interviews where he said he wanted to start a family. Yeah. He's 33. He's been training since he was like 11 years old or whatever, and nonstop, former Olympic champion. Two-time,
I mean,
what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's been fighting for a long time in combat sports. He's been wrestling since he was a kid. I mean, just to get to the Olympics, it's a journey, you know? Yeah. You have to like qualify, you have to go to the World Championship, so on and so on, and then go from wrestling straight to MMA, and then do it all again and become a world champion in two divisions. Is, I mean, being a champion in one division is tough enough. But to be a gold medalist and two division champ,
and to successfully defend your title,
yeah,
a couple times already
against Mighty Mouse Dominic Cruz,
yeah.
I mean DJ,
he beat the best guys in his division,
yeah, basically. And TJ too, yeah. So like, usually I'd say that I don't believe when a fighter retires, but with him, I do. I think that he just wants to eat and be fat and not worry about the stress of making weight. The stress of fight week or defending his title, I think he has nothing to prove.
Yeah.
He's the only UFC fighter in history to be not only a gold medalist, but a world champion.
Yeah.
And I think he's done a lot for the sport, and I think he is done, and I don't disagree. It kind of sucks that it happened like that. I would like to, but
no crowd. During COVID.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And then, I mean, at the same time, on the other side of the coin, people are going to talk about it because it's the only thing that's happening.
Yeah. And so they saw it.
So it is going to be news.
They saw it. A lot of people saw it. So, yeah, I don't discredit his retirement talk. I think it is, you know, he wants to start a family. He's got a girlfriend now. A serious one he's been with for a little bit now, and he's looking to hopefully start a family and kids and all that, and I get that. He's 33, he's not too young, you know, he's not a 20 something looking to still party and make his money and bang a bunch of chicks and all that stuff. He's in his close to his mid-30s now. I could see it. I believe it. I think at the most I could see him coming back for these one-off championship style big money fights.
There's great fights. I mean the fight with TJ.
Yeah,
great fight.
Yeah, I can see him coming back. I can see him coming back for those. All right, but anything outside of Marias, Dominic, TJ, he's beaten a lot of these guys already. They're all.
I think, you know what sucks? Sorry to cut you off, but like the fight that I think he avoided successfully is. Jesus Christ. Alpha male guy.
Benavides. Yeah.
He avoided that fight.
Yeah, he avoided it.
And
yeah.
I think he knows that Benavides would destroy him.
In that weight class?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but Benavides, though, lost recently. Is Benavides the same guy?
That's true, yeah.
But I think he avoided him long enough to where I think Cejudo could probably
beat him now. Yeah.
Yeah. How did Dom look to you? Did he look... old?
No, I think.
Did he look slow?
He started off slow for sure.
Yeah,
but I think with him, he
was warming up.
He was kind of forcing his shots a little too much.
Yeah,
I think he was trying to hurt Cejudo a little too much instead of like letting the fight come to him.
Yeah. I was watching it and I was looking at him. I was looking at his body and just seeing if age had finally caught up with the guy. Mm. I don't know how old he is. I think he's around 34 or something around there. 35.
Yeah. Mid-30s, yeah.
I wonder, can this guy really do it again? Can he take 3-4 years off again and come back and win another title? Like,
I don't think he can.
I don't. I see the bad stoppage, but I still don't think he would have done it.
No, Cejudo was on his way to win that fight.
That was asking for a lot from Dom. And I think he looked old. Mm. I think he, not that he's an old man, but he's not that young guy anymore.
I mean, he's always talked about not not, like ring rust not affecting him, but I think it kind of looked like it did. Either that or what you're saying, he just looked old. But
yeah, like his, like even just his, like his the way demeanor, his body, mm-hmm. His demeanor.
Like you can see his shots coming on.
Yeah. His face, he looked, obviously he's older.
He's not as quick, obviously.
He wasn't as quick. His body has taken a lot of damage and has a lot of injuries. His feints
were kind of slow, huh?
His feints were a little slower. His footwork wasn't as fast. And not that he couldn't have won the fight. You know, I think he could have won because he still was still Dominic and he's a bigger guy and he's like, he still moves great and in and out. And he looked like he was having some good moments.
But
it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. But
yeah, I know you're right. Old. He said to I think Ariel that, you know, it affected him with the crowd not being there because he's used to like either good heat or bad heat. You know, it motivated him.
Yeah,
and it took him long enough, like longer than expected, to like get into the fight and realize, you know,
he took like almost 4 years off again. You know what I mean? It's like, or I don't know how long it's been since Mizugaki. That was his last fight,
yeah,
right?
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's like 4 years. You can't.
No. It wasn't TJ?
Was it TJ? Which one was after? Before? I think it was TJ.
Yeah, it was.
But TJ. Roughly in the same year. I think that was the same year. So it's been almost 3-4 years.
Yeah, because he was in that fight, that winning fight win streak, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. He looked a little older than me. Not bad. Not that he couldn't do it. You know, he's not 40 or anything like that. But.
But you're right. Cejudo was on his way to winning the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. So, will we see Dom again? I don't know. I don't know if we'll see Dom
I don't know
again.
Why he needs to be there. I think he's good as, you know, like on the ESPN team.
Yeah, he's one of the best they have on there.
Yeah.
I think he's, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Henry Cejudo. I think he'll come back at some point for these one-off fights. But I don't think we're going to see him for a little while now. Francis Ngannou versus... Rozenstruik, 20 seconds. That was, I mean, all it took. A brief exchange, a low kick from Rozenstruik, and then that was it. Francis rushed him, threw about 4 punches, 3 of them missed, and then just that one.
That's a cage, yeah.
That was one, put him out. It was nasty. Where does Francis go from here? Obviously, because we have DC and Stipe. Holding up the division. No one that's going to go on with that. Curtis Blaydes, here to beat Curtis Blaydes. He beat most of the division already.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is if he fights
Jones?
Greg Hardy.
Yeah, I think he'll mop the floor with Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy looked like shit.
No, he did. I don't know. It's frustrating, and I'd be frustrated if I was Ngannou because... You're in a division where you're in limbo. Like here's a guy in Francis Ngannou who's a beast, who's a knockout artist. You know, you look at him and he's like a fucking superhero.
Yeah,
he has the potential to become a superstar, but the UFC are putting all their chips on Stipe and DC.
Yeah,
because DC is a UFC guy and Dana likes DC, and you got this guy over here with Ngannou. Who has no one to fight because the heavyweight division is a shallow division.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Keep firing the same guys over and over again?
Yeah.
I think they should just like put an interim fight, him versus DC.
Him versus DC. Does DC want that fight?
But I don't think DC's going to take that fight. That's the thing.
That's
it's not fair for Ngannou to be waiting around for these two guys to fight a fight that's not even going to be in the future.
Yeah. And Ngannou's ready. He only took him 20 seconds. He's ready to go.
It must be. I'd be so frustrated with him.
He's probably not going to fight till fall. He's going to be on the shelf.
Who's he going to fight in that division? It's a shallow division.
Yeah, it's a shallow division.
Like, really shallow.
He's beaten most of the guys already, guys already.
I mean, and if he fights, like, Verdum or something like that.
No, but Verdum lost.
Oh, yeah.
Olenek.
Oh,
but
he
that's
did.
Not a fight, really. And neither one of them is worth your time.
Ben Rothwell?
Yeah. Big Ben, who fought last night, was saying that, you know, he's looking to fight. Oh, I forgot who we called out. But he is saying how you know, they're holding up the division. Stipe, he called out Stipe, actually, in a little bit, and saying that, respectfully, that he shouldn't not be holding the division the way he is and not using the whole COVID things as an excuse to not train because he knows that your coach can open up the gym for you to train. There's no reason for it. And you're a first responder, but you're more of like a part-time volunteer.
Yeah.
Like, choose your priorities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're heavyweight champ or whatever.
If you can defend that title, then vacate it.
Yeah. If you can't defend it.
And let the division go on.
Yeah. And so and Rothwell had a really good point.
He's completely right.
Yeah. You're going to be a heavyweight champ or you're going to be a first responder. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So I feel for Francis. He looked amazing in this fight, but there's no one else in the division other than Stipe to make. And we'll see what happens. I don't think DC wants to fight. That's not going to happen. DC is looking for Stipe and call it a day.
Whether it be a fair bout or not, but you know, Stipe is a champion, and the only responsibility of a champion is to defend your title.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, then vacate it.
Yeah. And then if DC doesn't get that Stipe fight and he retires, it's not a bad thing. You're 1-1 with the current champ. It is what it is. Just call it a day. You have a great career. No one's going to fault you for winning or losing the next time around. It is.
And that is a full blown like. Now the whole MMA thing with Ariel is now it's not him by himself anymore. It's him and DC.
Yeah, yeah. So see, Stipe. Yeah, he's got DC's got commentary, and he's got that gig with ESPN and Ariel, mm-hmm. and he's got details I think on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
So you have a great career ahead of you. Yeah. So. Calvin Kattar against Jeremy Stephens, probably one of the best fights of the card. Mm-hmm. Calvin Kattar looked like, you know, obviously he's got amazing striking. Stephens is just an animal, and they're going at it for 2+ rounds. And Kattar comes out combo 1-2, and then ended up throwing an elbow, when he was on the floor and cut him open nasty and stopped Jeremy Stephens, which not a lot of people can say they've done. Mm. Kattar is a guy who in that division is somebody to look out for because that guy's boxing is probably one of the best in the UFC. Yeah. In the UFC. Greg Hardy and Dick Castro opened up the card. Probably the worst fight of the night right there. Greg Hardy looked...
Compared to the rest, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and Greg Hardy looked like... He's not showing any improvements in he's such a big guy. Mm. And it's like, I want to see him challenge. I want to see him really, you know, like not that he's, I think he knows he's good enough to get by these guys. But these guys aren't challenging him and they're not forcing him to evolve.
Yeah. I think, he reminds me a lot of MVP and how Bellator is treating MVP and how they were kind of like protecting him in a lot of ways.
And not as talented.
Yeah. And like Greg Hardy is being protected by the UFC.
Yeah.
And they give him like guys that are winnable fights for him.
Yeah.
And you're right.
But it's on him to make these winnable fights.
No, I think
he's get a win. And
I think it's content of fighting these guys.
But then he comes back in this fight, fights a guy who's not going to challenge him as much. And he's like, fuck, I'm not going to put myself out there. Like, even though he should go out there and starch him, is he that good? I don't know. But he showed that he was pretty good, at least to hang out with, what's his name? I forgot what his name is.
Yeah, because he was the late replacement for that fight.
Yeah. Pettis and Cerrone go at it. Great fight. Both look good. Pettis ended up getting the decision, you could call it either way. I wasn't upset about the decision.
Yeah, me either.
Olenek defeats for Verdum. Carlos Sparza defeats Watterson. Vincente Luque, Nico Price, probably fight of the night right there. Just insane back and forth fight. Mm. Overall, a good card. Now let's get to last night's second UFC event. Smith versus Teixeira. What a card. I think this card was overall better than Saturday's card.
I agree.
Aside from the main event. From beginning to end, was just back and forth wars. I think one of my favorites from the main card was Ricky and Simone and Ray Borg. Mm-hmm. I thought that fight was just insane. Mm-hmm. Arlovski beating Felipe Lins, newcomer. Mm-hmm. Arlovski looked great. Thiago Moises defeats Michael Johnson.
Heel hook,
yeah. Second round, right at the beginning, 25 seconds in. Drew Dober defeating Alexander Hernandez in a back and forth fight war and ended up TKOing Drew Dober on a 3-fight win streak, I think. And then Ben Rothwell defeating Ovince Preux. And was a weird, awkward fight for the two. Ovince St. Preux looking great, big, good for the division, new blood, showed really at times some brilliance and some on occasion that he's a force to be reckoned with. But I think most of the fight and what cost him was that he was just too standoffish against Brandon Rothwell and let Brandon Rothwell dictate the fight way too much when he should have pressured him and went at him. And when he did, he took it to Brandon Rothwell and almost finished him at times and really hurt him. But most of the time spent kind of scooting away from Rothwell's attacks.
Yeah.
Do you think Ovince St. Preux has a future in this division? And
no, I think he should go back to 205. No,
I'm okay with either way. Yeah. Either one. I think
he's big enough to fight in both.
For an opening, like imagine Ovince St. Preux versus Greg Hardy.
Yeah, Greg Hardy would be actually handed to him.
Yeah, I think that'll be a great.
But I think fighting someone like Ben Rothwell right away in that division is kind of a mistake, no?
It's a tough fight.
Yeah.
It's a tough fight for Ovince St. Preux because he's not, again, even at light heavyweight, he's not the most skilled guy, but he's big. Because
it wasn't that long ago when Ben Rothwell was on a tear, remember? He was giving all his opponents.
And Ovince St. Preux was doing pretty good. He even fought for a title. I think a good fight for him at heavyweight would be Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
I think that would be a nice one.
For both.
For both guys.
Yeah.
Now let's get to the main event. Glover Teixeira defeats Anthony Smith. TKO punches in the fifth. I mean, Anthony looked freaking smooth and brilliant in the first 2.5 rounds. Mm-hmm. Gassed himself out.
And that uppercut. I think the uppercut is what rocked him more than I think gassing. I think gassing had a lot to do with it, but those uppercuts that. Glover was landing was fucking off the hook.
Glover came back, like how tough and resilient
he
is.
2 10-8 rounds I give him.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I had a problem with the fight as far as like. So after the fourth round, I mean Anthony Smith was done. And he told his corner, I can feel my teeth coming out of my mouth.
Yeah,
and I felt like he didn't want to be there. I felt he felt defeated already, and he didn't want to go back in that fifth round. And I think that they should have not let him go out for the fifth round.
I think if his corner would have stopped it, he would have been okay with it.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like he wanted to go out there.
He was asking without asking.
Yeah, when a fighter says something like that, you got to take it into a grain of salt. And I mean, and just not let him go out.
Not let him go out.
But. And here comes that fifth round, and what happens? He gets dropped again.
Yep.
And he was doing those lazy takedowns.
He lasted a minute in the fifth, and then that was it.
He wanted no part of it.
No.
He didn't even attempt to block. He just said, fucking step in, Jason.
Yeah.
And save my ass.
Yeah.
That was kind of hard for me to watch.
It was hard to watch because he knew he was done after the fourth. You knew his corner could have stopped it. I was actually hoping that the doctors would have heard him say something about his teeth and would have just kind of like stopped it and checked them out. But they really let it go.
That's the kind of character he is. He's not going to quit.
No, he's not going to quit. No, not at all.
I don't know. I had a problem with that.
I felt bad for him too because he could beat Glover Teixeira. Like that was a winnable fight for him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Glover's a walk in the park, but if he would have paced himself...
Glover impressed me, actually.
Yeah, and Glover looked like Glover, which has impressed me because he's got that in him where he has a great boxing the ground game. If Anthony would have paced himself throughout the five rounds he did, and landed and picked his shots instead of just throwing everything, he probably would have beaten Glover Teixeira.
Yeah, I think. With Glover, I think he adjusted his game plan.
Yeah.
Like, after the second round, because all Anthony Smith's success was when he was fighting from the outside.
Yeah.
But once Glover, fought close.
Yeah.
He was beating Anthony Smith.
Yeah.
Like, I think the second round, when he turned the corner and he was just giving him fucking sick-ass bombs in the corner.
Yeah.
Glover was to Anthony Smith. But I noticed that every time Anthony fought him from far at a distance, he was getting the better of the exchange. So kudos to Glover for kind of readjusting. And fighting close and having success in his dirty boxing.
Yeah, Glover looked great. And yeah. He even talked about changing things up at his age, and he's like, you need to, or else
he looked good. Done. I mean, I was happy for him, actually.
Yeah. I felt bad for Anthony because he needed a win, and just for his confidence and having what's it called? The home invasion.
Yeah, that happened recently.
Going at it with Jones. Yeah. Glover's on a 3-4-5 win streak now. You just fell for Anthony just because of that. And the fact that he was doing so good, and you knew, even the commentary was like, he blew his wad. He's like his corner, they're criticizing his corner on the commentary. Like, you can't just be yelling shit at your fighter in this kind of environment, because he's going to do exactly what, you know.
Yeah, like they're like shouting, like staring combos. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
And they're like, yeah. And Cormier was all like, he's going to throw those combos, and you keep talking, and he's going to listen to you. And that's exactly what happened. And what happened was that he freaking burned himself out. Yeah. And then Glover took over.
Yeah. Especially when there's no crowd and all you hear is the coaches.
All you hear is the coaches. Yeah, tough fight for Anthony, but you know, props to Glover, looking great at 40 years old and coming back, and now he's at top of the division. And they're looking at, I think Dana was saying that they could probably do Jones and Blachowicz and Teixeira against like Dominic Reyes.
That's a good fight.
That's a good fight.
It's a great fight.
And then those would be the contenders for the light heavyweight division. So I like that. Let's get to our guest.
Yeah.
So, Pani Kianzad, welcome her to the show. Here's the interview. Caught up with her over in Sweden, and she's just going about just everything. We got to get a little bit of everything. So, enjoy. All right. Pani Kianzad, thank you for being on the show. Welcome to the MMA Complex. It's really a great to speak with you. And I know you've been training. You just came in from Denmark. Back home, and you know, just thank you for being on. Really, really pleasure talking
to you. No problem. Thank you.
So how has it been for you? I know the world has kind of shut down. I don't know how Sweden's going, but you know, there's not a whole lot of gyms on, and I know, you know, you had some fights scheduled over this past couple of months, and you know, but all in all, how have you been? How's everything going for you?
Well, as you might hear, Sweden is actually taking a different kind of approach.
Yes.
we're pretty open-minded, but no, it's like the Swedish approach is like, we know we're going to get infected. People are going to get infected. We can't like get past that.
Yeah.
But focusing on the really ill ones and people that need like the most care, because the healthcare in Sweden is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like if that one drops, everything drops. Yeah. I myself do some part-time in healthcare when I can.
Okay.
And I've been working, helping out during this epidemic. And I'm actually going into work this weekend just because, you know, I think if you can do something, you should.
Yeah.
But so basically not all the gyms are open in Sweden. A couple of them are.
Uh-huh.
The gym that I'm part-time training at besides Denmark is open. But basically I'm sticking to doing my private lessons with my striking coach here, my strength conditioning coach. And now finally I've been able to go back to Denmark and work with my MMA crew, but it's not in our normal gym. You know, we have a little basement that we built in one of the guys' apartment house. So basically I got permitted to go over because training is my job.
Yeah.
And if you have work over there in Denmark, you can go over. So actually I've been training really good. I've been trying to keep my focus up. You know, I'm still ready to fight this summer if everything goes well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically I've been training like twice a day. That's what I always do. Even if I don't have a fight, I'm always training.
You're always training. Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, especially off season, it's the best time.
Yeah.
It's the best time to get better. I know a lot of fighters that don't even train good off season.
They gain weight.
Yeah, just like they don't learn anything. They don't like bring in knowledge. They mm-hmm. don't like try new stuff. And I've been using all this time, not try not to overtrain. I'm not, killing myself, but yeah. I'm really staying in that shape that I can just give me 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and I'm ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
As soon as I know, boom, I'm ready. So basically, everything's kind of been like normal for me.
Yeah.
But, I'm trying to, I got a lot of help from people here in Malmö. You know, a lot of close friends that have been helping mm-hmm. me to wrestle and grapple when I can't do that with my other team.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I'm back with my team again. This was the second day and, it's been great.
That's good. So your primary team, your coaches are all close to you, and then your MMA team's in Denmark. And so you've been able to kind of recently bring everybody together. So that's good.
Yeah. And we've been in contact all the time. Yeah. Before my fight with Betch, when they said it's not going to happen for me, the guys were ready to come from Denmark to drive over with some sparring partners for me.
Yeah.
So we've been staying in touch. We've been Skyping. We've been recording our trainings for each other. And, everything's been fine so far. But I got a lot of help from my my boyfriend and my mm-hmm. striking coach here. They're working with me every day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
And in terms of, like, helping out with at the hospitals and all that, what have you been doing helping out?
So basically I'm a part-time assistant nurse.
Okay.
At night here in Malmö, uh-huh. and basically I just jump in and work whenever I feel I have the time.
Yeah.
When I heard my fight was going to be postponed, I went in and worked because I know this time the healthcare in Sweden they really need it.
Yeah.
Especially the night workers, when people say night worry, people think people are sleeping, but they're not fucking sleeping.
No.
No. It's pretty busy, and yeah. we have infected the patients, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We have healthy ones, of course, that well too. But I'm trying to go in and work whenever I find the time. Especially because it's night work, I can't do it all the time because I have early trainings and stuff.
Yeah,
but I try to work 5 days, and then I don't work for like a few months again. So I try to go in and do whatever I can.
Yeah, because over the overnight schedule, you have to sleep during the day and catch up on sleep, and then go. It's just
exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, a regular schedule. If I'm going in and working, it's like I'm working. I'm going up early to train.
Yeah.
I sleep a couple of hours, maybe 7 hours, 6 hours, and then I go back to training, and then I go straight to work.
Yeah.
And then depends if I'm working again the next day. I'm training evening. So
now you're an athlete. You're relatively healthy. When you're working in these environments, is it kind of scary? Do you see some of the patients there that are infected? How they're doing? And it kind of obviously it's to commend you for putting yourself in that situation.
I've been working with this like over 10 years back and forth, and. Yeah. To be honest, a simple flu that we get every year kills these patients.
Yeah.
We have people dying, multiple people dying every year, like from week to week. So, this is nothing new.
It's nothing new.
This is nothing new. No, it's just like the only thing I'm scared of really is I'm bringing in something because their immune system is weaker than mine.
Yeah.
We are going in there fully protected, we look like fucking astronauts going in there. But then, we've been lucky too. We have a lot of patients that got, like, I think all of our patients got healthy if they had the virus.
Yeah.
So, so the only thing is that we're kind of scared if we bring in anything because we are healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and we are taking all, we're doing everything we can to be safe and healthy. We don't come in like this. It's really important because people like me are coming in and helping out when the regular people can't come in because they're ill.
Yeah. And now in terms of your fight, I know it was it postponed at least twice, right? Was it April or in May?
No, it was May 9th.
It was May 9th.
Past weekend.
Yeah, for 250. That event was pushed back. Now, you know, obviously they're doing their events in Florida this week. There's hoping that, you know, the UFC center, the Apex Center, is going to be open. And then there's Fight Island. Now, for international fighters like yourself, and with travel restrictions going still for a lot of European countries, I don't know what's the word that you've gotten from the UFC or from the government in general in terms of traveling outside of where you're from, where you're at right now? And is Fight Island most likely the best option for you?
I mean, it could be the best option for me. I do have a working visa to the States still.
Okay.
But I can't use it because they haven't. I think they're going to open the borders soon, but they haven't yet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you have a visa or anything, because I'm coming from one of the European countries, and especially Sweden. So that's the problem. Fight Island would be the best option for me. That's what I'm hoping for, you know, because me and Betch, you know, it was a big fight, and I'm pretty sure they're going to put us in Fight Island because we're both international. And I think it's an important fight for the bantamweight division. I mean, if I beat her, when I beat her, I would be in top 15.
That's
a big fight.
When you called her out, were you happy that she accepted it? And
I was, but you know what? When I was going to call her up, people around me, you have to trash a bit. I'm like, I can't trash. Honestly, I have no idea how to do it. So I'm just going to politely ask her. the thing is, I've been on the sideline for at least 5 years outside of UFC when I think I should have been there.
Yeah.
So I'm not wasting any time.
Yeah.
I'm not wasting time, you know, because I have so many good fights in front of me. I'm 28. I'm starting to step into my prime.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste time not doing the fights I want. Yeah. I want to fight as much as possible.
Have you been in contact with the UFC at all or no?
Just through my manager and everything. Mm-hmm. And they just like, everything is on hold I think the May events.
Yeah.
Just they want to see how the May events are playing out. That's reasonable, because if the May events are playing out good, and I think this event played out really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we had one positive fighter, but one positive fighter is nothing, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think everything, they did everything really good with the medicals and everything. I'm actually really, really surprised how good it went.
Yeah. There's even a fight tomorrow and then a fight Saturday. So if this whole week goes well, I think they'll bode well for you in terms of hopefully getting a matched up soon.
Definitely.
Now your earlier, we'll touch on your upcoming fights and hopefully, you know, what the future may hold, but your career started really young with the boxing at, 14, a ton of amateur fights. Then you got into Cage Warriors, where you became the bantamweight champion there. And then you had your time in Invicta, and then you had your time in the Ultimate Fighter. But before you got to the Ultimate Fighter, your early career, how would you describe that time for you and coming up in age and learning all the different facets of the fight game and having those experiences, those losses, those victories? What would you describe that time for you?
I would say that the time in Invicta got me to reflect a lot. Mm-hmm. The things, I love Invicta. I never regret any single moment or minute there. I think Invicta changed many people's lives.
Yeah.
You see all the champions we have of the girls that come from Invicta.
And you fought some of the biggest names in that once you went in your time there. Yeah.
And the thing is that, how do I say this in a good way? Invicta could be the best thing happening for you.
Yeah.
But I would say if you would take a single negative thing out of it, that's not really negative, but it's like you can get really good fights, dangerous fights against the best opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are better than a couple of them in the UFC.
Yeah.
But you're not getting the credit for it.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people, a lot of fans, and a lot of MMA people are saying that If you're not good enough for the UFC, send her back to Invicta. Everything has been like, send her back to Invicta, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because I fought the biggest names of my career in Invicta.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I even fought the harder fights in Invicta than my first fights in the UFC, honestly.
Yeah.
I fought Sarah Kaufman. I fought Tonya Evinger in her prime in Invicta when I was 23 years old.
Yeah.
25 years old. So I would say that it really got me kind of to wake up a bit. You know, I was kind of thrown in into that all that. You know, I did my first fight and on international, on American ground against Jesse that I just fought.
Yeah.
And everything from there went, I think, if I could change anything, I would. Mm-hmm. I would. But
what would you change?
I think it went a bit too fast for me after the Jesse fight, the first Jesse fight.
Uh-huh.
I got a good opportunity to fight Tonya, and I think I somehow overrated myself a bit.
Okay. You felt you were too confident, and then you.
I wouldn't say I was too confident, but I would say that. If I would listen to myself now, I would have given myself more time.
Yeah, yeah.
To evolve, and I would give myself the opportunity to work with other people because I basically left my team after that fight, and that's something I should have done many years ago. So that's what I kind of regret a bit. But actually, after the Tonya fight, you know, I knew what I was up against after that, and then I suffered two more losses, but the thing is, that was the best girls I ever fought, and so it got me thinking a bit, but I always knew that I would come and reach a point where I would win again.
Yeah, and then you eventually made it to the Ultimate Fighter. How was your time there and working with Gaslam and being on that team, and I think you're a fourth pick, I believe. And you made it all the way to the finals, you know, like, how would you describe their time there, and did you enjoy it?
So I was the second girl pick, of the girls get picked for Gaston's team, and I was pretty shocked, actually. I didn't think I was gonna be picked so fast. I was kind of feeling a bit overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, you had a lot of experience and some good, really good credentials coming into the house. So, I mean, it makes sense that you're picked high up on the list.
Yeah. But when we did the training there, so we first trained with the Gaston team, and then we trained with the Whitakers. I actually didn't feel that good in the Gaston team. I was feeling like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Where did I fuck up? but then when I thought about it, I'm like, okay, it went pretty good anyway. I mean, I went in tough, in shape. I was ready to fight.
Yeah.
Because I had a feeling I was going to fight first because I knew I was going to be one of the lighter ones.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling they were going to pick me to fight first anyway. So basically when I got picked, I was really happy to be on Gaston's team. And that's actually what I wanted.
why that team?
I've always been a Gaston fan, of course. But I love how the coaches set everything up for us. Mm-hmm. The first training session, they just wanted to see how we work. You know, they took notes. They were really trying to coach us. They were going to see if we were coachable.
Yeah.
And something I do good, cardio, technique, and I'm really coachable.
Okay, well, so, there you go. You're a perfect student.
Yeah, I just knew. And then me and Macy teamed up for the training because I think we had a hunch that we would make each other look really good.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we did.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they picked us to be the best girls in the house. And I was like, we're in contact with all of our coaches, all our team members. We talk like on a regular basis. I used Coach T, Terrell, that's Kelvin's wrestling coach, for it to help me for my finals. And he coached me for my first UFC fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been in good contact, and I've been to Yuma in Arizona as well training.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I love the time in the house. You know, the only thing I really miss, you know, this is the regular stuff. My boyfriend and my dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But just the time to get the opportunity to have people focusing on you.
Yeah, it's big.
And you just focus on training, you're eating, and, you know, that's everything I ever wanted.
Yeah, all outside distractions. All outside distractions are put away, so it's nice.
Yeah, so I was like, even though last week we really wanted to go home, we just wanted to, because we were, you know, they were fucking working us.
Yeah.
We trained hard.
Yeah.
Until the last fucking day, until fight day, last day. So we were really tired.
Yeah.
Like coming home, I was so sore. I was sore for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm sure the best shape of your life, maybe.
Yeah. I think so. And and you know, they took care of us. They really wanted us to win, everybody in our team. They never put anybody down. Everybody was so nice to each other. We helped each other, the whole team. Yeah. So
Now, after the finals, obviously, they didn't give you the contract right away, but then they had you booked. They brought you back in, right?
Yeah. I was, honestly, I was really shocked that I didn't get the contract. It got me thinking. I was in a path where I got the chance to fight him in Stockholm for Superior Challenge. I got to fight a Belter veteran.
Yeah.
And, you know, after that, honestly, I had retirement thoughts.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I did. I was, because I was getting told that I was probably not going to get the chance in a while, you know, it could take fights, it could take a long time. And I was like,
were you getting fatigue in terms of the training, the constant training, the constant ups and downs of, because you're still young. So is it, you know, like Henry Cejudo just potentially retired, but he's 33 years old. And he said he's been training since he was 11. Did that kind of mentality, did that come into your mind? Like, I've been doing this for a long time, I can't take this anymore type of thing.
Yeah, so basically when people say, yeah, you're so young, blah, blah. But the thing is that I didn't start when I was 26.
No.
I started training when I was 5.
Yeah.
And I started fighting when I was 13. I did my first fight when I was 13.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't even know how many fights I have combined and everything. So the thing is, that's what came into my mind. And I honestly didn't think I would have that kind of people around, but I had a couple of people around me that was like, why are you still fighting? You know, you're not going to get where you know, it's going to take years before you come to that position again. And I was like, and that was like close. And I was like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You should be telling me never to quit. You should be telling me to fucking, to go back to the gym, you know?
Did you cut those people out? Are they still around?
No. Negative. I'm really good at cutting people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't have done it without my boyfriend. Honestly, he was like, he's been my rock. He's been saying, you know what? Elias, my boyfriend, and he helps me out in the corner as well with my training and everything. He thinks I'm the best in the world.
Hey.
That's the question.
Yeah, that's a good boyfriend to have right there. That's
He thinks I'm the best in the world. He's like, you have the best in everything MMA. Mm-hmm. You're the person that can go the furthest in MMA.
Yeah.
And that's why I appreciate it. This is my dog, Biggie. Sorry, he just want to come up and cuddle.
What's his name?
And the best thing, Biggie.
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 Biggie Smalls. After Biggie Smalls.
Yeah, exactly. he's so wet.
Uh-huh.
And the best thing with him is that he brought me up. Even though we had a win in Sweden, I was still not satisfied. I was like, I haven't trained 15 years for this.
Yeah.
I haven't trained 15 years. To not be able to support myself like financially. I haven't, you know, I want to at least give me a chance to give me a contract and see what I can do with it. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to cut me, cut me. Yeah. I don't fucking care. I just want an honest shot.
Yeah.
Because after Tough, I didn't get an honest shot. I was, it was my sixth fight and this It was my sixth fight in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. So it's a short amount of time. That's a lot of work. It's on your body. Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, you know, I was actually, I train a lot, but even though after that fight, and I put myself in a lot of work. I went in to night shift after night shift. I just didn't want to think about anything. Yeah. And, you know, my managers had to like really talk to me. I was like, shit, I'm looking at educations. Yeah. I'm actually looking at shit to do because I don't know if I'm mentally strong for this anymore. That's actually what I thought. I have bad days and I have good days.
What was the other option? Were you thinking of going nursing full time or back to school or?
I was thinking about getting my nursing degree. So that was where I was. But at the same time, I have so much love for sport. Like, I've been doing that since I was a kid. It's been helping me through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And
does your boyfriend train? Is he a fighter also?
Yeah, he made his professional debut a few months ago.
Oh, okay, great.
Here's Sweden.
Yeah.
He tried to remind me. He's like, I promised you, it's not over. You just have to, you know, continue. And I was training, and then I got in better thoughts. And then I had one shitty night. Mm-hmm. I had so much to do. And I was basically, I had such a bad feeling about everything. And then I came home. I was eating a Nutella sandwich. I totally remember this. I was eating a Nutella sandwich. Uh-huh. And my manager called me. And just a week before, he talked to me about taking a short notice fight in Serbia.
Oh.
Of all places, Serbia, yeah. For money, nothing.
No,
it was like fighting an upcoming girl. And you know
what? What was the promotion? Do you remember the promotion?
It was actually a pretty good promotion.
Yeah.
But it was Serbia or Poland, something like that. It was a really good promotion.
It was KSW.
No. It wasn't KSW. But it was actually a good promotion. And I was actually going to take it. I was like, you know what? Let's fight. I don't fucking care. If I get knocked, if I die, I die. I don't fucking care. But then he called me and I was in a bad mood. And he's like, Patty, I got to fight for you. I'm like, I'm not fighting in fucking Serbia in 2 weeks. I was like really mad.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're going to fight in Vegas in 2 weeks. I'm like, just fucking. And I started, you know, after I worked for 12 hours during nights.
Yeah.
I started to get paranoid. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's like, we got a short notice fight on the John Jones card. And I was like, fuck. Fuck.
Do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And how do you like Vegas? Do you go out before, or after? Is it your kind of town?
I don't like Vegas.
No?
I don't like Vegas. No. Yeah. I've been to Vegas so many times.
Yeah.
I've been fighting there maybe five times maybe. Mm-hmm. It's not my town.
Yeah.
It's not my town.
Yeah.
It's like, I love Sweden. I love the town I live in. I live in the south, just by the border from Denmark. And mm-hmm. It's like, I love it.
Yeah.
It's nice here.
Yeah.
I like the States, but just not for long periods of time.
Yeah. What place in the States have you enjoyed the most out of all of, you know?
Yuma, Arizona,
okay.
Yeah, it's been really nice. I just like it. I just like that it's kind of like a bit trash, a bit country.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It reminds me of here, and it's been nice. And we've been to LA as well. It's been pretty nice. We road tripped from Vegas to LA a few years ago.
Yeah. LA's nice. LA's got the food. I lived in Vegas for just a little bit for work, and then came back to LA, and I missed it. LA is great because you got all the food options. It's so many things to do. That's what I missed the most. But that's great. So let's say the UFC calls you back and they want to do it on Fight Island, and Betch isn't available.
Yes.
Is there anybody? Is there anybody in mind that you would, you know, have on as a target? That you would like to fight on Fight Island. Let's say they do it in July, Fight Island.
Anybody. It's like I have a thought in my head after Betch, but I don't want to say anything before Betch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So after Betch, I know exactly who I want to fight. Like, I have some targets that I'm thinking about that will be a cool fight. Yeah. But if it's not Betch, then if I can't decide that it's Betch, then you know what? Then
just,
I don't care.
Just whoever then, they give you.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts? What do you envision Fight Island to be? Because if that's a possibility for you, where they end up putting you on Fight Island and you're fighting there, do you think it's going to be like some Mortal Kombat type scene, or is it like, you know, I don't know if you ever seen the old Bulldog fights where they're on the beach.
No, but I think it's gonna be like the Bruce Lee's movie. No, but it's just like, of course it's gonna be fucking far away.
Yeah.
Like it always is.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping for it to be on an island in Europe. That would be awesome for me. But of course it's gonna be really far away because that's my luck.
Yeah. Just probably like be some Asian Pacific country and all that. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I hope it's going to be close, but it's I take whatever I can get. I think it's going to be epic.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be a part of it, but I know a lot of fighters want to be a part of it. So I don't know if I'm going to get picked for it. You never know.
I heard some of the first cards, or I heard Connor as a potential headliner for a Fight Island card. That would be awesome to be put on that card somewhere.
Nice. You know? I mean, yeah. I just want to fight right now
because,
you know, I'm really used to fighting really often. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not used to sitting out.
Yeah.
So
it's good that you're the type of person.
Yeah.
It's good that you're the type of person to not sit around and waste this time, because even just people in general on a regular basis, like during this whole lockdown thing over here, like in LA,
yeah.
I know a lot of people that are just not doing anything. And there's people like yourself. There's people like even myself that keep busy and try to, you know, work on things and improve while you have this time, because it's kind of a rare occasion to get this time, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, I've been working so hard to get to this point where I can actually fight for a living.
Yeah.
And, like, imagine me being in off season now, not having a fight, but I wouldn't stop training.
Yeah.
It's like I just appreciate all this time I get, you know, but yeah, of course I want to fight. I mean, I know my coaches got disappointed too, because, you know, they're getting mentally ready to coach, you know, they're fucking ready, you know, they really want to go as well. I know my striking coach was like, he was really bummed out. He's like, I really wanted to fight. And he's an old fighter as well. He's been a great fighter in Sweden. And in the States, he used to be a professional pro boxer and Thai boxer and everything, you know. So he's like he got bummed out. He's like, fuck it, you know, as much as you want to fight, I want to fight too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And do you have any sponsors outside of here that have been helping you during this time? Is it I know working with the UFC, it's not very easy to pick up sponsors, but you know, there's anybody that you, because I know you do a lot of social media, like, you know, you work on that.
Yeah, so. I got like during this time right now, I haven't got really financial help, but I know a lot of as soon as I get this fight booked again, I know I'm gonna get help. I partnered up with Girl Clothing and Luta Soap, and I got a lot of you know, all my I have a couple in Sweden that have been helping me with like massage stuff, you know, gear and everything, you know. Even though it's not money, but it's still helping me.
It's still helping,
you know. Yeah, and as soon as, you know, everything is rolling, I will. I know they're gonna help me up a bit with cash as well. You know, they always do that. But still, I'm really grateful for the stuff we get from Reebok as well. You know, that's, even though people are complaining about the amount, and I get it, but for me, I'm thinking that it's still a couple of thousand dollars that I don't need to go and look sponsors for.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think like that, because, okay, $3,500, what is it, for Reebok. I'm still trying to think that, you know what, the positive thing is that I don't need to go look for this. I don't need to waste the time that I can put in training to go look for those sponsors for those money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying to see the positive things out of everything right now.
That's good. That's good. So I want to thank you for being on the show this week, and it's a really pleasure talking with you. And hopefully, you get a fight soon and get you on Fight Island or Vegas or wherever. And this all kind of calms down and all settles in. We get back to normal. But you shouted out some sponsors already that you're working with. Just where people can find you on social media, Twitter, Instagram.
So you can find me under Penny Kanzad at Twitter, and the same thing at Instagram, Facebook, same thing, Penny Banzai Kanzad is my fan page. And
All right.
I'm around. I'm
not doing much. All right. Well, best of luck in your training and taking advantage of it. And I just hope to talk to you soon. And then we'll maybe once your fight gets announced, we can talk to you again. And
yeah, sure.
You know, it'll be all a pleasure, but all the best.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Right,
thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Pani Kianzad. Great talking to her. Great catching up with her. Hopefully everything goes smooth and she gets a fight coming up. And get back on track, get on that Fight Island or maybe in Vegas or, you know, once the flight stuff kind of opens up.
Yeah.
We got to fight this weekend. It's not over yet.
Is it postponed? I read somewhere that we got maybe did.
No, there was the event after. I think they were going to do one next week.
Okay.
That one got postponed. Okay. Overeem versus Harris is this weekend. Claudia Gadelha versus Angela Hill is on the card. Edson Barboza versus Dan Ige is on the card. Eric Anders against Christoph Joko is on the card. And Marlon Vera versus Son Yadong on the card for your main card. And then Matt Brown's on the undercard. Darren Elkins is on the undercard. And Courtney Casey's on the undercard and a host of other people. So
this is the co in the main?
Co-main event is Claudia Gadelha versus Angela Hill.
Ooh, that's a good fight.
It's a great fight. I like that one.
I'm going to go Angela Hill.
You know Angela Hill? I'd probably go Angela Hill too.
Yeah.
I think Claudia looks great. She looks shredded. I just posted up a picture on the Instagram. She looks shredded on there. But Angela Hill, I think, she's found her groove. I think she's more comfortable who she is now. Alistair Overeem versus Walt Harris. Now, Walt Harris, obviously, coming after the death of his stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. This fight was postponed, rescheduled. Alistair Overeem and the both.
She got kidnapped, right?
She was kidnapped, murdered. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, man. Overeem, it sucks.
Is it? You know, I might. I don't know. I don't know. Let's see who shows up. I think I'll go Walt Harris. Let's make it interesting. Yeah. I think this is a fairly even matchup in the heavyweight division. I'll go with Walt Harris and see what happens. All right. That's our card. That's our show. We have a card this weekend, May 16th, Overeem versus Harris. Make sure you guys watch ESPN, ESPN Plus, and we'll get everything back next week with a brand new episode, hopefully a guest. And I think we'll have so many next week for the people. And thank you for Pani Kianzad for being on the show. All the best of luck to her, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Be safe.